Man. Look at this. Double portion already. Praise God. Two of those makes about one normal size bottle, so that's great. Amen. Anybody thirsty? Well, I'm just kidding. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Well, you're a little bit more convinced that you're doing all right. How many of you are just so grateful for Jesus in your life? Yeah. Let's talk to him. Jesus, we just thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. You rule and reign. Not in some distant future, but now. Presently, you are ruling and reigning the cosmos by the power of your word. Through the operation of your Holy Spirit in the earth. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd be lifted high in this place today. I pray that everything I say would bring honor and glory to your name. And Holy Spirit, you have permission to do a work in our hearts. Every life touched, every life impacted by the eternal age that is present and yet coming. And we look forward to that day, Lord Jesus, of seeing you face to face in all of your glory. And we say, may your glory cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to read to you something before we start today. And this is something I wrote a little while ago. And as I was preparing for the weekend and to bring some life-giving words to you, I was doing a little bit of reflection and going back through some things that I had written. And this paragraph stuck out to me. And I want to read it, and then we're going to get into today's topic, which is life, survive, or thrive? It's a question. It's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Is our life looking more like surviving or thriving? And how many of you know that the trajectory of the Christian life is thriving? To thrive. Amen. So I want to read this to you, and then we're going to get into it. And I said last service I was about 65% sure I was going to preach my notes. So that's a really high percentage for me. So this service, I'm about 70% sure, but there's still 30% chance that we could get somewhere totally different. That's good. Wherever he leads, I'll follow. Anybody got that? We can just do that. Wherever he leads, I'll follow. Okay, anyway. Welcome to the 21st century, where shallow living is the plague of our time. Social media has become the vehicle people live their lives through so that they can have a life they can control. Life seems to be about thumbs up and hearts, clueless of what true love and acceptance is that we settle for digital symbols of them to feed our souls. Feelings have become the guides we follow, only doing what's pleasurable, comfortable, and convenient because, man, life's too short. The inability to be content has been classified as drive. And the behaviors that come from the fear of insignificance are classified as bravery. Critical thinking is a critical problem, and meaningful conflict is grounds for a riot. Love is the result of the same thing that sends you to the emergency room, a fall. And hate is defined as disagreeing with somebody. Contemplating identity, purpose, or eternity takes too much brain power. We instead become method actors, channeling the characters we've seen on the big screens of this world. Day in and day out, the scenes of our lives change. We enter the workplace and act out the script we have rehearsed. We change our voice and our facial expressions as we interact with others and sit in our meetings and project the us we want others to see. Scenes change and we find ourselves with friends, a new role to play, and another script to read. We put on our pretend smile through gritted teeth as we hear about the promotion that they're getting that we feel we deserve. We're tortured by the report of their child's accomplishment as we inwardly sorrow over our child's recent failure. We're painfully aware of how put together the lives around us seem to be. They make time for the gym, and we barely have time to brush our teeth. They buy the car that we've saved to our camera roll in the Dreams album. They renovate the house that we would have lived in without the upgrades. They have the marriage that we want, at least what we see on Facebook, and they take the vacation every year that we want to go on once in our lifetime. All the while, we're left robotically smiling and nodding like the good actors we've learned to be. The scenes go on, and our acting gets better and better while our lives get emptier and emptier. If those above statements sound like your life, you're in danger of shallow living. Okay, some of you haven't been around me a whole lot just yet because you don't come to church on Wednesdays. No big deal on my end. No big deal on my end. No big deal. I'm just telling the truth. I know stuff's going on, all right? I know stuff's going on, but you just haven't been around me a lot. So I only know one way to preach, and that's step on people's toes. So just, if you're squirming a little bit now, and if I make you uncomfortable, we're just getting started. Praise God. Here's the thing about it, guys. If the above statements that I read sound like the inner dialogue in your life, you're in danger of shallow living. Shallow living. See, there's two ends to the pool of life. That was me doggy paddling, by the way. There's two ends to the pool of life. You think it's funny watching me walk? You should see me swim. Two ends to the pool of life. There's the shallow end. Even my own pastor makes fun of the way that I walk. I just have to receive it as joy. Blessed are you when you're persecuted, Fredo. So we have two ends to the pool of life. We got the shallow end and we got the deep end. We like the shallow end. Do you know why? Because you can touch in the shallow end. You've got a lot more control in the shallow end. A lot less faith required to tread water in the shallow end because you know that treading water is really just for pretend because you can put your feet down whenever you want to and stop. You ever gotten the shallow end of the pool in the middle of Oklahoma July? You know, like when you can cook hot pockets on the sidewalk, you know, that kind of thing? It's terribly hot, isn't it? And it's October. It's still hot. What's going on? We need some fall weather. It's cooling off. We'll be thankful. But here's the thing. You get into that shallow end of the pool in the middle of Oklahoma in July, and it's mildly refreshing. But how many of you know that the shallow end of the pool heats up a lot faster than the deep end? And the deeper the water, the more refreshing the water. In the shallow end, you can say you're swimming, but you're really hopping in water. Call that swimming if you want to. I don't call that swimming. I call swimming not being able to touch. I call swimming, it actually takes some physical exertion to where I have to kind of doggy paddle over to the side and hang on to catch my breath. And then I launch myself back out again. That's swimming. Welcome to people's lives. Some people are hopping in the shallows, calling it living. And I got news for you. You ain't never lived yet. Amen. Here's the thing about it. That there's three types of life revealed to us in the scriptures. And we're going to take a look at these. And if you've been coming here for any significant period of time at all, you have heard these terms before. The three types of life mentioned to us in scripture, and what I mean by types of life is that there's three different words for life in the Greek text. Everybody knows that the Bible was not originally written in English, right? Everybody knows that Jesus didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes. Uh-oh, some of you, was that revelation for some folks? He kind of looked more like me. Anyway, it was his good pleasure to make me look like this. Anyway, if we can go back one more, sorry. I'm just going to say these, bios, psuche, and zoe. Everybody say bios. Everybody say psuche. Look at you, you sound so smart. And zoe. Very good. Touch screen. Very good. Bios. I don't chop. I just touch, okay? Bios. This bios life we see in Luke 8:14. And Luke 8:14 comes from, how many of you have been blessed by Pastor's series on gardening the heart? Hasn't that been awesome? Man, it's been so good. So good. And this is one of the passages that he pulled from. And in Luke 18:14, this is when Jesus is actually explaining the parable of the sower. And in Luke 8:14, he's talking about the ground, all right, the condition of the heart, whenever the seed's received, but the seed of God's word's received, but the cares of this life choke it out and don't allow it to grow. The cares of this life, that word life is the word bios. And this is the Greek word from which we get biology, the study of life. And in this bios realm of living, this is everything that's happening in the natural, physical world. This is what's happening biologically around us, all right? And I got news for you that in the bios, and then in the next slide, we're going to look at psuche, all right? In the bios and the psuche realm, that's the shallow end of the pool of life. That's the shallow end. All right. Holy Spirit, help me. That's the shallow end of the pool of life. I'll tell it to you this way. In the bios realm of living, all right, and when people exist only in the bios realm, and when the realm of exploration in their lives is only in the realm of bios, then the greatest authority on any given event or subject in their life is what's going on in the natural. I'll prove it to you, okay? Jesus was told one time that his very good friend of Lazarus was sick. His very good friend Lazarus was sick. Jesus' response to Lazarus being sick proves that Jesus did not live his life solely in the realm of bios. Do you know why? Because as soon as he was told that Lazarus was sick, he immediately said, "This sickness does not lead to death." How many of you know that Lazarus actually died? Is Jesus a liar? No, there's just a realm that Jesus lives from that's bigger than bios. There's a word from elsewhere, and Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is what God has to say. Jesus comes from a realm that's outside of the shallow end of the pool. Jesus comes from the eternal age. He comes from the kingdom of God. He comes to bring the divine life into real life. He comes to bring the divine life of God into the realm of, I'm already spitting, I'm preaching good, into the realm of bios and psuche. He said, "This sickness does not lead unto death." How many of you know that Lazarus did die? Yeah. But whenever the one that was the way, the truth, and the life, which is Zoe life, see, I can't keep a secret. I don't do progression well. I jump to my main point. The way, the truth, and the life, who is Zoe life, when he showed up into the bios life of Lazarus' condition and the family's condition. Let's go to the next one. Keep Lazarus in your mind. Psuche is the type of life that is solical, mind, will, and emotions. Psuche is wherever we get the English word psyche. It's psychological. It's the emotional part of life. It's the seat of our emotions. It's that inner dialogue we have with ourselves. How many of you know that there was a lot going on in the family of Lazarus and his death in the bios and the psuche realm? There was a lot going on. But whenever Jesus, who says to them, whenever he shows up, one of Lazarus' sisters tells him, "Jesus, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died." And he says, "Your brother will rise again." And she says, "Well, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection of the dead." How many of you know that's good theology? How many of you know that that's just not what the Word of God had to say in that moment? Okay, Jesus is the Word of God. People get nervous when I say that. I'm not sure why. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is what God has to say at any given moment. This book is made to put you in touch with the author, whose name is Jesus. What Jesus says trumps everything else. Do you understand why they killed Jesus? Because he said things like, "Moses told you this, but I tell you this." There's a book that's been written called Jesus Has a Conversation with the Rabbi. Jesus converses with the rabbi. And the Orthodox rabbi at the end of the book comes to this conclusion that for him, why he can't receive the things that Jesus said says and was recorded as saying, he said, "Because if I had to do that, I'd have to receive Jesus as God." Only God can say, "Before Abraham was, I am." Only God can say, "You've understood this life to mean this. And Moses told you this, but I tell you this." Jesus told the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures because you think it's in them that you have eternal life, but they are them that testify of me." How many of you know that when the Word of God walks into a situation, it trumps everything? And the Word of God has a name, and his name is Jesus. Truth has a name. His name is Jesus. Healing has a name. His name is Jesus. There are no separate rabbit trails in God that we go off to discover truth and healing and breakthrough. It's one and the same. Jesus is all those things. So when Jesus walks in to what's going on in the bios and psuche realm of life, Lazarus' sister gives a very good response. In case you don't know, Lazarus was like real tight homies with Jesus. He was like Jesus' best bud. And Jesus shows up, and Mary is talking to his sister, Lazarus' sister. And she says, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. He says, yeah, I'm the res, you know, I'm all this thing. And she says, yeah, I know he says your brother will raise again. She says, I know he will in the resurrection of the dead in the last day. And Jesus looks at her and very plainly says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those that believe in me will never die. Jesus is perfect theology. You want to know perfect? Mary had some good theology, didn't she? How many of you know that we're going to rise again in the last day, in the day of resurrection? Anything wrong with that statement? That's good theology. But Jesus is perfect theology. I don't want just good, I want perfect. And the scripture says that now in this time, the Lord's decided to speak in fullness once and for all in this man, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is what God has to say. Jesus is the model. So Jesus steps in and he brings a different kind of life into the middle of what's going on in Lazarus and his family's life in the realm of bios and psuche. How many of you know that the one that created the bios and the psuche has the final word on whatever's happening in those realms? The book of Hebrews says that everything that's visible is made from that which is invisible. When I'm dealing with something in the visible realm, how many of you know it would be good to go and consult the source from which that realm came? That's why Jesus could speak to the wind and the waves and they obeyed. That's why Jesus could speak to the dead and they would live. That's why Jesus could touch the lame and they would walk. Because the life that he was living trumps every other level of life. Jesus has all the cards, not just part of the deck. Jesus always wins. Jesus don't lose. How many of you bear his name? What do you believe about you? I prepped the Wednesday crowd for today. That's why they got all the answers. I cheated a little bit. You want to sound smart? Come on Wednesday. But here's the thing about it. Zoe, life. This is the type of life that Jesus manifested into the middle of what was going on in the bios and psuche realm with Lazarus' family. This Zoe life is the spiritual life. It's the deep end of the pool. It's the part that has to be explored out of faith because you can't touch the bottom. It requires you how to learn how to lean not on your own understanding and figure out how to be buoyant in the spirit, praise God. And figure out a new mode of transportation. I heard a minister say one time that people think as Christians we're called to settle in God, when we're actually called to be explorers of the kingdom that he's given to us. How many of you would like to experience some refreshing? How many of you would like to see a new picture of yourself and a new picture of what God is? Let's move from the shallow end to the deep end. And the way we do that is tapping into this Zoe life. This is the eternal. This is the God kind of life. This is the John 10:10. Jesus says, the devil's come to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life, Zoe, not bios, not psuche, Zoe, life, and it more abundantly. And it more abundantly. What's happening here in understanding all of this, guys, is that in the realm of bios, when people live in the realm of bios and in psuche, they're controlled by two things. One, events that are going on in the natural, and two, their own human logic. So where we saw bios mentioned, I told you, was the cares of this life when Jesus breaks down the parable of the sower in Luke 8. Where we see psuche is actually in Matthew 16, verse 25. And this is the passage that's really familiar to us. We don't understand it, but it's familiar to us. And that's the problem with this a lot of the time. We are familiar with things that we don't understand. But anyway, Jesus says, all those that seek to save their life will lose it, and those that lose their life will find it. That word life there is psuche, and that's drawing attention to the human psyche. Let me tell you something. There's a reason why the disciples, after Jesus talked, did this a whole lot. And Peter take Jesus aside, Master, are you dehydrated? We've been out in the sun all day. Jesus, you talk a lot, brother. Now you're just not making sense. Sit a while. Rest. Eat some figs. We're not understanding. How many of you know that Jesus does not have a speaking problem? We have an understanding problem. The psuche is the carnal mind. It's the mind when everything has to run through human logic. Okay. I know everybody here is super spiritual, so I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to turn off your spiritual switch just for a second, because I want you to hear this phrase and understand how much it doesn't make sense after the natural. In the natural, how much this doesn't make sense. All those that seek to save their life will lose it, and those that seek to lose their life, and those that lose their life will find it. That doesn't make sense to the human mind, to the human logic. In the realm of bios or psuche, that doesn't make sense. People still get confused. So let me talk about it in terms that you'll understand, because everybody understands this. Let's talk about money. All right, so let's take the word life out, and let's put money into it, and then it'll make sense to you why it doesn't make sense after the natural. Jesus could have said it this way. All those that seek to save their money will lose it. And all those that lose their money will find it. Do you see how that doesn't make sense? Okay, I know you can't breathe because you've been holding your breath. So flip the spiritual switch back on again. Ah, okay, everybody good? To understand those kinds of things, Paul says that the carnal mind is an enemy of God. It can't submit itself to God. It doesn't understand spiritual things. Somebody that's never experienced swimming has no idea how to swim. It doesn't make sense to them. They don't jump in the deep end because they don't know how to swim. They've never had the experience before. You can't convey something like swimming to somebody that's never experienced swimming. It's even harder, this is my job now, it's even harder to try to explain swimming to somebody who thinks that hopping in the shallows is what swimming is. Don't think about that too hard. That's my job. People, hopping in the shallows. I'm blessed. No, you're not, you're safe. You don't know what blessed is. Blessed is when I jump in the deep end and I float. I don't drown. That's blessed. Hopping in the shallows is safe. You're in control there. You can stand up and the water's up to here. You're pretending. The method actor out of what I read. You're so overcome by that realm of bios and psuche that what other people have discourage you from ever being to have anything yourself. In the bios and psuche realm, we compare ourselves amongst ourselves. We can't celebrate the success of other people because we're so caught up in envy. Because they're swimming and we know deep down we're hopping around. And we want to be there, but to do it requires us to. You have to move. You have to. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, and all roads lead to the deep end. Hallelujah. Yeah. To the deep end. So what's this about? Look, all those that seek to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life will find it. I love the words of Jim Elliot, famous missionary. Gave his life for the Lord. Faithful to the point of death. Make no mistake, the seed, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. You want to talk about some deep end stuff down there? Anyway, that'll be for another day. He said it this way. He is no fool, Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's how you understand those who seek to save their life will lose it. Because I got news for you, brothers and sisters. There's an eternal age that is coming that trumps bios and psuche. The Zoe life of God will. The Zoe life of God isn't a principle, it's a person. Jesus is the Zoe life of God. And one day he's going to bust the sky open from the east to the west. And what will rule and reign in that time is that which is of the deep. Which is why I better learn how to swim. Which is why I better learn how to engage the mind of Christ instead of be locked into this human logic and understanding. Have you ever followed Jesus and people thought that you weren't making any sense anymore? If that hasn't happened, you're not following Jesus. You're hopping around in the shallow end. You're not following Jesus. The Zoe life is the type of life that happens whenever we make the decision to receive the seed of God's word. And who's the word of God? Jesus. When we make a decision to receive Christ into our life, this is what happens. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 6. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, bios, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, psuche, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, you better be grateful. But God, this phrase is always causes me to rejoice. When you see the word but inserted in anything, it means that what's been said up to that point is about to be the exact opposite. Okay. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. Man, you better shout. How many of you can acknowledge today that you're messed up? All right, raise your hand if you're saved, but you still can acknowledge you're messed up. How many of you are so happy that even before you could acknowledge you were messed up, God still loved you? So how many of you have to know now and realize and need to come into realization that God loves you even if you're saved and you know you're messed up? Isn't it a proud day in the life of a parent whenever your kids go from a place of knowing, not knowing that they're messed up, to at least saying, yeah, I at least now know that I'm messed up, but I'm trying to do the right thing. I got news for you. If you're saved and you can still acknowledge that you're messed up, God loves you. Because he loved you before you could acknowledge it. Okay, good. Different message, but still a good point. Even when we're dead in our trespasses, made us alive. Everybody say alive. Alive with a Zoe kind of life, together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You want to talk about some deep places, try living with the core revelation that you're seated with him. I got news for you people. Jesus isn't seated in a lawn chair. And he's not seated in a lazy boy. And he's not, even though they're really cool, he's not seated in one of those zero gravity massaging chairs. I love those things. You ever been in one of those? Amen. Praise God. They're awesome. But Jesus isn't in one of those. Jesus is on a throne. Do you know why? Because he's ruling over what happens in the realm of psuche and bios, which means to understand that if you've been born again, you've been given the capacity not only to be seated with him, but to now begin to think like him and live like him. It's true. It's true. Jesus said things like, not only will you do the works that I do, but even greater works than these. Like doing what he did was just already non-negotiable. It just was it. Yeah, you're going to do the works that I do. You can't get people to believe that they can even do the works that Jesus did. Talk about greater. It's deep end, right? Start swallowing water. Not only will you do the works I do, even greater works than these. I love reading this passage in tandem. I like it to flow immediately into Colossians. So in my translation, the Zach IV should be coming out sometime later next fall. We're going to mesh what's going on in Ephesians right there with Colossians, and we're just going to call it Ephlossians. It's going to be great. If then you've been raised with Christ, let's go back to the last verse there of Ephesians to continue on. I got excited and started doing other things. And raised up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians. If then you've been raised with Christ. See, we've been seated with him, which means we've been raised. Can you raise the level of the water without deepening it at the same time? No. Okay, good. If you've been raised with, so you're in deep water. You don't even know it yet. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are where the Zoe life is, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So many people are trying to discover themselves instead of learning that you have to discover Jesus. There is no 12 steps to a better you. The best thing that you can do if you want to be better is to die. Just die. You're the problem anyway. You have died. Died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. People try to discover their life in being able to take the vacation. They try to discover their life in being able to have the kid that's in the honor roll. So many of you are viewing your children as this burden in your life when they're actually a blessing, reminding you what your life really is. Okay. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Look at this. I love this. I used to read this passage so carnal. Anybody else been carnal besides me? Anybody else still working on it? We got a few truthful Christians in the house. Praise God. There's lying Christians, trust me. When Christ, who is your life, appears, I didn't say it was you if you didn't raise your hand. You might just be afraid. That doesn't mean you're lying. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. I used to read this as such a future tense thing because it's easy to read it that way, isn't it? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This thing, you understand that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So Jesus didn't die just to forgive you. He died to make you glorious, to live a glorious life. I used to read this that whenever Jesus comes back, then I'm really going to be glorious. And I get that. We're going to have a glorified body. I understand that we're still walking out the process of salvation. But here's the thing about it. Everybody knows that in the spirit, in our spirit man, that glorious state has already occurred. So this passage isn't talking about that whenever Jesus gets here, we'll finally be glorious. It's talking about whenever Jesus gets here and he's physically visible, it will now become physically visible to the entire world how we have been reigning in glory with him by the Spirit. It'll be revealed what's been happening in the spirit realm all along. And the Zoe life will overtake the realm of Psuche and Bios. And if I were you, I would start preparing to live according to the age that's coming because that one's eternal. This one is temporary. There's people that are saved, but they're not preparing for eternity. Listen to me, guys. There is no, heaven is not the spiritual retirement home. Heaven is not the place where you sit on the cloud and you string the harp. Ain't nobody like harp music that much. One time at Christmas in the foyer, awesome. For eternity, not so much. Jesus, can we at least have jazz? Some jazz. Come on, something. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come back. If Jesus made all of this, how many of you love life? You've never had good Mediterranean food. That's your problem if you don't love life. You haven't had the perfect, you know, anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. That's a stronghold in my life sometimes. Deliver me from Bios, Lord. Let me eat the invisible food. It just doesn't taste the same. Anyway, here's the thing I want to tell you. Here's the thing that I want to tell you is that as we're growing, as we're maturing in the Lord, Jesus told us he's going to prepare a place for us. If he created all of this and life is good, amen? If you don't think life is good, man, you need to get saved today. That's the whole point of what I'm trying to say. At the end of this, you're going to have an opportunity to give your life to God. He'll prove to you that life is good. But if this life is good, and this is awesome, this life, what makes you think that the forever that Jesus has planned is going to be mediocre? How many of you know that we're beings that were created for work and that we feel accomplished when we have our hands connected to purpose? And we feel most alive when we're flowing in our gifts and our callings. Yes. How many of you know that in the eternal age to come, Jesus has work for us to do? Yes. I don't know what all that means. And then for me to try to break down and explain all that would just get kooky and maybe even heretical. So I don't even go there. Because my mind right now can't comprehend all that. All I know is if Jesus is preparing a place, and if the scripture says that I'm going to rule and reign with him, and it says things like we're going to judge angels, how many of you know we got work to do? But we don't know how to swim. You're not going to be hopping in eternity. Guys, got work to do. Paul talks about in this great house that there's some vessels for honor, some for dishonor. I'm not going to break all that down either. All I know is I would like to be a vessel used for honorable things in his house. I would like when I present my work to the Lord for it not all to go up in a puff of smoke. I at least want some of it there. Is eternal. That which is of the Zoe life is that which is eternal. We appear with him in glory. Here's the thing about it. I need to break it down to you this way. Zoe life means that we begin to see things from the perspective of the Creator, not just the creature. How many of you know that in the bios and the psuche realm, you can still arrive at the understanding that there is a God? Romans chapter 1, Paul writes and he says that this created world, everything that we see, testifies of the eternal power and divine image of God, the one who made it. So those that don't believe aren't without excuse. I've read the books, I've seen the documentaries, people cutting edge, astrophysicists, biochemists, people that study quantum physics, people that really move into the deep end of even the sciences, at some point in time, the majority of them they leave the point of just calling themselves an atheist, and they at least move into the realm of being an agnostic. Because you get to a place, even studying this bios and psuche realm, that points to the existence of something bigger. But I can tell you this, in the bios and psuche realm, you're not able to be seated with the one that's bigger. You're not able to connect heart to heart. Do you understand that God wills to connect heart to heart with you? I used to struggle, big time, guys. I used to struggle with God saying things like, I need all of your life. Give me all your life. Give me all your love. I used to struggle with that. Why? Because in the natural, if somebody is constantly telling you that they need all of you, I need you to pay attention to me. Why weren't you paying attention to me? How many of you know we run from relationships like that? In the natural, somebody tells you, I need all of your life. I'm looking for the Kool-Aid, like really quick, right? Like, what's going on here, man? All my life? Anybody else struggled with God asking things like that? God, you got everything. What do you need me for? Can't you have half of me? What you need all of me for? Here's the thing about it. I got to take these off. I can see you better with those off. Here's the thing. We struggle with this because we've had really bad issues with authorities in our lives. And for a lot of us, when we start talking about God in terms of Father, it conveys a lot of images and emotions for us out of the bios and psuche realm that aren't so pleasant. Because we remember Father in the natural being the guy that if we wanted to tell him about our day at school and we ran into his office to interrupt him, he immediately didn't have time for us. He was annoyed with our presence. We made the 95, but it should have been 100. You scored 12 points, it should have been 20. And because we didn't get the validation, we didn't get the I'm proud of you statements, we didn't get the unconditional love that we needed at home, which is the first institution that shapes and forms us, and I'd say the most important as human beings, We got thrust into the public school system, the school system at large, some of us as early as 4 years old if we did the whole pre-K thing. And we now had authorities in the classroom that were types and shadows of parents in the home, model for us what it means to be accepted, loved, and valued. So we paid attention. And the kids with the most gold stars next to their names are the ones that the teacher's face would light up whenever they'd walk into the room. But the one that needed the extra work, the one that was a little bit of a drain, the one that needed the extra tutoring, the one that couldn't sit still, that's the one that got met with the frown and the... So what did we learn? That in order to be liked, we have to be able to perform. So what we do is because we didn't have what we need in the home, and then school taught us this other thing that, yeah, we're even more of a problem than we really think we are. If you don't think that those authorities don't start adding up and now are the filter by which you view God, you're kidding yourself. See, we'll always be suspicious of the things God says until his heart's revealed to us. You're suspicious of people and because you don't know their heart. People say it all the time. Well, I just don't know their heart. If I knew their heart, I could receive that. You do the same thing with God. I, for a long time, had a problem with God asking me for all of me and all my love because I'm like, God, are you greedy? Are you needy? Are you lonely? And then it was even a bigger thing. What do you want me for anyway? There's a lot better people to hang out with. Now I know there's nobody better to hang out with than me. But then I didn't know. I didn't know that then. You said, no, that's arrogant. No, I'm just confident now. But if you're insecure, you'll think that's arrogance, though. But anyway, here's the thing that I want to tell you. I struggled with it. So one day I asked God, God, why do you need? Do you know it takes a place of security in your relationship with God to ask the why question? We were taught, some of us growing up, that children are supposed to be seen and not heard. So there was no why question. And if you asked the why, it was just because I told you so. How many of you delight in giving good things to your children and your grandchildren? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts... Does Jesus says evil? I wouldn't have picked that word for you guys. Jesus said that. Seriously. Like, I tried to tell him. Jesus, this is the 9 o'clock service. There's people literally translated by the Spirit of God here. They didn't even drive. They were just as they got out of the bus, they were just here. These are some holy people. Jesus, these are people with perfect church attendance. Evil? You want me to say evil? He said say it, so I don't know. So what the Bible says, if it means human, it means carnal, okay? Take a break. Chill pill, all right? He says, if you being evil, you being carnal, you being human, know how to give good gifts. If your kid asked you for bread, would you give him a rock? If they asked for a piece of fish, would you give him a snake? If you being carnal know how to give good gifts. If you living in the realm of bios and psuche still desire to give good things to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those, his children, that ask for it? That ask for it. Why did he say the Holy Spirit? Because Paul says that the Spirit is the thing that searches the deep parts of God. And then who has the mind of God to be able to instruct him? He says, but, I love that but word, we have the mind of Christ, which means that as a Christian living the Zoe life, you can't afford to have a thought in your mind that already isn't in God's about you. You cannot afford to have a thought in your mind that already isn't in God's about you. God becomes the authority, not the performance chart on the wall. God becomes the authority, not your dad being aggravated at you when you interrupted his work. God becomes the authority. And God spoke to me when I said, God, why do you want all of my life? And he told me, plain as day. You know what he said? Because something that valuable is only safe with me. I said, God, why do you want all my love? He said, because something that valuable is only safe with me. I change not. You give all your life, all your love to a human being, they change. They could die on you. I don't die, I don't change. So you know what happens? I give it all to God. You know what he does? I cannot give him. He gives it back to me abundantly. Jesus says, I come that you might have life and it more abundantly. Abundance means I got enough to share. I got enough to give. It's a Zoe kind of life. It's a life that has inflow and outflow. You know why the Dead Sea is dead? There's no outflow, only inflow. You know why some of us are dead? Because there's no outflow. Because we haven't received the understanding. If you're a Christian, you've received Jesus, but that doesn't mean that your mind is still, your mind's still in the process of being renewed. How many of you know that Jesus came to renew your mind, not remove your mind? Paul says by the Spirit that you have the ability to have the mind of Christ. How many of you have made a decision to follow Jesus? Raise your hands. Good. Now touch your head and say, I have his mind. There you go. Pastor taught you. Believe you receive when you pray. Put it into practice. You have his mind. So what does this mean? This Zoe life means that I think with the mind of Christ, and I know what to do and how to do it in the realm of bios and psuche, which means that sickness in my body is an opportunity for healing. The Pharisees said, this man's blind since birth. Whose fault was it? Whose sin was it? Be careful when people are sick and people right away are trying to find what sin caused it. That's Pharisee. Don't find the cause, find the cure. It's on the inside of you. Doesn't matter. Why is he blind? His parents' sin or his sin? I love it. From the realm of Zoe, Jesus answers, neither. That was a bios and a suke answer. Whose sin was it? His or his parents? Neither. This man is this way so that the glory of God might be revealed. There's a word from elsewhere, church. There's a world that'll put a little pep in your step. Hallelujah. Some of you need a pep in your step. Opposition becomes just the precursor for victory. Seeing others. The way we see other people when we live the Zoe kind of life is we see other people based upon what they have the capacity to become, not what they currently are. Aren't you glad that whenever Jesus spilled blood for you, he saw you based upon what you had the capacity to become, not what you currently were? And we still got people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Let me tell you how ridiculous that statement is. It's ridiculous. Do you know why? Because if you're a sinner saved by grace, that's like you. Oh, man, I got loud. Sorry. That's like you being drowning in the lake. And I come out there in the boat and I get you out and I put you in the boat and I take you back to the shore and I set you on the beach. And if you still flop around on the ground like you're drowning, you're insane. You've been saved from drowning and seated with God. You're not a sinner. You're not carnal. Living with the Zoe life means that I respond to what my Father's doing, not what the devil's doing. Christians live their whole life responding, and they mark their Christian life by what fight they're engaged with in the devil. Well, I'm on round 14, brother. What in the world? Are you kidding me? You don't fight the enemy because he can defeat you. You fight him because he can deceive you. You fight him because he can deceive you into thinking he can defeat you. I got news for you. Newsflash. Breaking news, Jesus on the cross, according to the Apostle Paul, stripped the devil of all power and all authority, made him a public spectacle. I don't fight the enemy from a place of offense. I fight from a place of defense. I don't fight to take ground in the kingdom. I've been given the kingdom. I fight to maintain the ground I already have. The devil can't defeat me. Zoe Life understands that as a Christian, you can't lose. You say, but my loved one passed away. That's a loss. Depends which realm you're living in. Bios and suke, loss, absolutely. It's going to register as a loss. There's no way to stop the heartache of that. There's no way to stop the sorrow of that. But I think the final word on the subject is Zoe. Did your loved one know the Lord? Absolutely. Then I got news for you. You're going to be with them a lot longer than you're going to be apart from them. Can't lose. Everybody say, I can't lose. Now you're thinking like Jesus. Takeaway, really quick. You aren't made for the shallows, guys. God wills for you to have the Zoe kind of life. And the question for you to ponder and to work out in your groups, does the life you're currently living look more like surviving or thriving? Amen. Let's give God praise. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and share your word. Next time, give me an extra hour, please, God. And Father, I just speak blessing over everybody here. I thank you, Father, for people that have never made a decision to call upon your name. They've never made a decision to say yes to that Zoe kind of life. I pray today, Father, that they'd receive you. And I pray, Father, for those of us that have received you, that have been hopping around in the shallows, pull us into the deep by the warmth and the love of your embrace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen.